Positive change starts with a single step. Welcome to Conscious Conversations, where it's all about taking that first step to making a positive lifestyle change. Pamela Heichel, healthy lifestyle designer and coach, will inspire you with insights, strategies, and languaging to help you express what you're feeling. Her special guests will share their own experiences and what was like for them and how they took the first step to make a positive change in their life and how you can too.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Conscious Conversations. I'm your host, Pamela Heichel. I am so excited to have a special guest today. Jane Clapp is in our virtual studio with me today. And today we're going to talk about the future of mindful movement. And I'm really excited to have this conversation with Jane. So welcome, Jane.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for accepting the invite. So you're all the way in Toronto at the moment, correct?
I am. I'm in Toronto, as the Torontonians say.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And a lot of our listeners will totally get some great information about your background and how they can connect with you and find you. But you have a studio in Toronto, Urban Fit, correct? Right?
Yes, I do. I've had it for about 10 years.
Wow. And so your title, you're kind of a holistic personal trainer, mindfulness and trauma coach?
I would say, yeah, I actually put trauma recovery coach.
Trauma recovery coach.
Recovery. Yeah, that describes it a little better. Yeah. It's evolved so much over the years. And my clients have really been my teachers, bringing things in that that were things I didn't have experience in, but I intuitively came around to the trauma work just through all the observational work I've done with clients and connecting dots between different types of body-based kind of issues and seeing the kind of commonalities across different clients despite their different struggles with life. The body just kind of reacted the same. And you know, it didn't really matter what the demographic of the client was. Our bodies all sort of have a common way of reacting to chronic stress or traumatic stress.
Wow, that's fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you just talking to me about that seems so logical, but yet I feel it's such crucial information that's kind of missing in our mainstream healthcare or the conversations that happen when people are talking about their health and well-being.
And I think in large part that's because our healthcare system is a specialist model. So doctors are dealing with this in a compartmentalized way. And someone like me who has so much time with people, at least an hour at a time, consistently, I get to kind of see the whole person and start helping them connect the dots and become their own health advocates and ask the right questions and ask for the right tests and start seeing how one health issue is connected to another and mental and physical health and start seeing, helping them make sense to themselves. Right.
Right. Yeah. That's so important. You know, there's so much going on in my mind about movement. It's been popping up so much, especially when I saw your workshop that you came down to Red Deer a few weeks ago. One of the things that I recalled you talking about in that workshop is how our bodies are specifically designed to engage in very specific movements. You had said, you know, our bodies are designed to squat, to kick, pull, push, I believe. I hope I'm not getting them mixed up. There's probably some more that I'm missing. Yeah.
We have primal movement patterns our bodies are designed for. And the way that we're using our bodies in our day-to-day life is so incredibly limited. Our movement vocabulary is shrinking and it's impacting our brain function. And as a result, we've created this sort of disconnection and dissociation from our body because we aren't actually using our body the way it was really designed to be used.
And that just totally blows me away. And I think I shared this short little story on my podcast a few weeks ago. But just recently, my mom and I came back from San Diego. And I was there for a health coaching conference. And she came along to kind of tag along and make it into a little bit of a holiday. And I have the Bella Beat, which is for women. It's like a Fitbit. And I had it with us. Now, if you travel with my mother, you are going to be clocking kilometers like there's no tomorrow. So I'm so grateful for that. In the first 2 days, because we were touring around San Diego, we, you know, and it's not a perfect system, but this Bella Beat told us the first day we did about 28,000 steps, so about 18 kilometers. And then the second day was 22,000 steps, so about 15 kilometers. And I was like, wow, that's amazing.
Wow. Wow.
And again, not a perfect system, but when it converted that movement into hours of the day, that 18 kilometers was just around 4 hours. And then the 15 kilometers was just under 3 hours. And I thought, oh my God, that is not a long time of movement when, you know, how many hours are we awake in a day? 10 to 12, 12, 16,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And we're, and so that was us hoofing it in San Diego, trying to catch every part of that city. And now imagine people that are confined to office jobs for 8 hours a day.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Health Canada says that we need Health Canada guidelines are that we need about 150 minutes of physical activity a week to even sustain our health. And right. I would argue that that's even low.
Yeah.
The added thing I'd like to say though is with people are looking for quantity sometimes versus quality of movement. Mm. And what I mean by that, without getting too technical,
sure.
In order to change our brain, which mindfulness is really designed to do, right? We're not just trying to feel better in the moment. In fact, sometimes you know you don't feel better when you meditate, right?
No.
But the long term is that we're trying to change our brain and get us out of reactivity and be able to stay in the present moment and tolerate whatever comes up without freaking out, right?
Right.
And so quality of movement is really important because sometimes people can really get a lot of exercise in but not necessarily bring, I call them the sections. So interoception is sort of awareness of what's happening in your body, right? Your physiology, your breath, sensing into how you're feeling inside your body. Then you have proprioception, which is like walking, kind of finding where your body is in space and what needs to happen for you to accomplish a movement and what muscles need to fire to make that happen. And then we have exteroception would be like sensory input, sight, smell, someone touching your skin, sensation on your skin, the feeling in the bottom of your feet. So for me, the superpower, the real benefit for people that really needs to shift is that we need to bring at least two sections together.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. And while you were talking about that, what popped up into my mind was all of the activities that we engage in to kind of numb us or distract us from our environment or what's going on around us or inside of us.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we're sort of dissociating. We're distracting ourselves. We're dissociating from ourselves. Now, I think in a way we can use movement, particularly movement that brings two of those sections together at least, we can actually distract ourselves from our broken record of thoughts in our mind more effectively than seated meditation sometimes.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about that. What does that look like or what does that even mean?
So let's say I have a client come in. They're really stressed. They're super agitated. They just got an email from work and they have something really high conflict to deal with. What I'm going to do is I'm not going to get them to talk to me about that work situation. I'm going to try them to ground them in the present moment with something stronger than just feeling their breath. I might get them to do a balancing activity so that they get completely present in their body. They have to be focused to accomplish that movement. And for a moment, they take a break from the reactive kind of part of their brain, their amygdala, so that they can revisit the situation, having their prefrontal cortex online, their higher cognition. So for some people who sit for too long, seated meditation doesn't actually help really flip the lid back on that. Jody Carrington used that term at the Red Deer conference, and other people do. Right? You need something that is a strong, that brings your attention to the present moment in a more strategic way sometimes, in order to bring your higher cognition back online faster.
Interesting. And you know, one of the meditation practices that I also do myself and teach is Spring Forest Qigong, which kind of looks like Tai Chi. And I find that practice seems really accessible for people that feel that they want to get the benefits of meditation, but the idea of sitting really freaks them out.
Well, and it freaks them out because sitting, okay, so more body awareness, more body awareness isn't good necessarily if you don't have a strong filter and a very intelligent filter to process all the information you get from your body. If you have trauma that you're dealing with as well, trauma is actually in your body, right?
Okay,
so sitting still and tuning into sensations in your body can actually be very, very triggering, and it can re-trigger something called the freeze response, which is that you're so scared that you can't move, but you're thwarting all this movement. So the MBSR program, you know, the mindfulness-based stress reduction program, which is amazing, is actually creating a trauma-informed program, recognizing that a lot of people who had that feeling of frozen in their body, which can happen for people who sit for long periods of time as well, need a little bit more trauma-informed approaches to dealing with mindfulness and bringing mindfulness into their life.
Wow.
So, yeah, so people who don't get enough movement in their day, and in their week, and then try to get healthy by sitting more. It's counterintuitive on some level. On some level, we have to trust that our bodies are smart and know that the resistance is there for a reason.
Interesting. I'm sure you've noticed, because I've certainly been noticing, a lot of research has been popping up where they are now starting to look at the connectivity between movement and mental illness or depression or anxiety. And when I read or I see this research, there's a part of me that's a little bit angry, because again, my brain thinks, well, yes, of course, that's logical. Why are we just thinking about this now? Any thoughts around that? What does that look like when we're a society, our Western culture, our Western society, when we've created an average day where most of it is we're sitting, and then everything is about convenience, remote controls for all of our devices, our vehicles, drive-throughs, etc. So we're not incorporating any movement into our day. We're not engaging our body, and yet depression, anxiety, it's on the rise.
Well, there's a direct correlation between lack of physical activity and depression and anxiety. And we know that it's related to serotonin uptake. We know that steady state cardio is one of the ways that serotonin uptake can be improved. But I believe that the World Health Organization has named depression as the leading cause of time off work worldwide now.
Yeah, I can see that.
I believe there's a direct correlation between that and the decline in physical activity in our society. It seems really obvious, but I don't think we've understood it in a very causality point of a way, that actually lack of movement is causing mental health issues. Before, we used to look at exercise as a way to treat mental health issues. Now I believe that we are going to understand that the lack of adequate movement, dissociation from our own body, is actually the main factor behind mental health issues. One of the main factors, obviously.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a short break, but when we come back to wrap up, I certainly know that we're not going to get all the answers, but I would love to then talk to you to hear what you have to say about, well, then what's funny. What's the next step? What's the next step that as a society or as individuals do we take when we are suffering from depression and how movement can help heal that? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so let's take a short commercial break and then we'll be right back.
Are you ready for a life-changing journey? Experience a journey that will bring great rewards, like lasting success, a satisfying lifestyle, and a better you. Pamela Heichel, a healthy lifestyle designer and coach, will help you find your way. Enjoy a free 45-minute session with Pamela. In less time than your lunch hour, you can learn how to balance your life and live it to your fullest with easy steps. Contact Pamela at ph@PamelaHeichel.com. That's PamelaHeichel.com to schedule a free 45-minute session and begin your journey.
All right, everyone, welcome back. All right, Jane, we've got a short amount of time, but so much that I want to talk about. So when we left for commercial break, I was talking to you about, well, you actually stated that you believe that we're going to discover that, in fact, at the core of, and please correct me if I'm wrong, at the core of depression is that lack of movement.
Yeah, I think it's one of the main factors between impacting brain chemistry and brain function. Yeah.
And so if someone is experiencing depression, bouts of depression, long-term depression, could it be fair to say that there is clearly a disconnect between them and their body?
Well, I can't say that for everyone, but I definitely would suggest that whoever they're seeing for mental health treatment should be putting that at the top of their list.
Okay. So then what would be that next step? How then do we as an individual or a society or even a healthcare system then approach depression with movement, if that's even fair to say?
Well, what I found is very, very tricky is when people are dealing with depression and anxiety, they often coexist, right?
Right.
We can feel frozen. Like, we know that we should be doing it, but it's hard to make ourselves do something for the benefit that's going to come afterwards, right?
Yes.
So it's sort of
yes.
like, I'm going to brush my teeth because I know I'll get fewer cavities. That's not a really enticing thing to get people to move, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
It's not like, oh, okay, I'll make myself go out for a walk, right? So oftentimes, if I can, I try to help people first find something that makes them feel excited or that there's some purpose behind what they're going to be doing, something created to link to their spirit, something that makes them feel like they're going to be play or find joy in movement again, because oftentimes our body becomes a source only of pain instead of pleasure, mm-hmm. of freedom, of joy, of play. So if I can, I want people mm-hmm. to feel like joy during movement, expression during movement, something that they're doing it because they love it while they're doing it, not because of some future benefit.
Wow. No, that's amazing. And we were just talking briefly during commercial how as a society, and I see it, I've been there, I've gone through my own pain, my own trauma. And it's interesting because I had the luxury of catching a glimpse of what it's like for people who live in chronic pain. And it's very isolating. Mm-hmm. It's very isolating. Mm-hmm. And your loved ones around you want so much to help you, but they can't understand what you're doing. And so oftentimes you hear things from other people like, oh, it's just in your head. Oh, don't think about it. And then we get into this trap, and I certainly did personally. I got into this trap where I only related to my body in a painful manner, that all my body was a source of disconnect, a source of being broken, a source of pain.
And we feel our emotional pain in our bodies too, right?
Right. And so how then do we inspire individuals to establish a new relationship with their body, to bring that joy and that pleasure?
Well, I really look at one thing is gathering community and moving together is really, really important. Like, I don't think that we can get well in isolation. And if we can move with other people in ways that we really love, it could be dance, it could be a running group. It could be any, your Qigong. Like, if we are in community, I think that is really, really important if we can find that.
I love that. Go ahead. Sorry.
We co-regulate, right? So if we are in isolation, we actually aren't regulating our nervous systems with other people. And it's very hard to do that by ourselves, right? We're relational creatures. We are well when we are in relationship and when we feel like we belong.
Right.
So if we can incorporate movement activities that also make us feel like we're a part of the community, I think that's ideal. That might not be the case for everyone, but sure. Doing something that you actually, it fully engages your mind, your spirit, your body, I think that is true movement as medicine.
That is beautiful. I think I read on your website that you believe that healing is political.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. Trauma is women are more likely to experience certain types of trauma because of the society that we're living in. Trauma and mental health issues are not solely the individual's responsibility to heal. Mm. We are working in a system, in a healthcare system that is still paternalistic, that isn't totally informed. To become well, we have to understand the environment that we're working in, understand barriers to us getting well, and how the system has impacted our health as well.
Wow. Wow. My huge takeaway from this conversation, which I want to thank you so much for, is community. About, you're healing at an individual level, but there's so much more healing that can happen when we come together in community.
Absolutely.
And that it's almost the responsibility of our community to understand and recognize that healing needs to happen on that level. And I think, you know, especially with a lot of indigenous cultures, healing is, it's a family affair. It's a community affair. It involves everyone.
And I like that expression too, that we become unwell when we stop dancing together, right?
Right.
I'm going to a conscious dance event that I always go to on Thursday nights. And I can start just feeling really like kind of shut down or tired. And I know that the energy in the room, the connections I'm making with people as I'm dancing, as I'm moving freely, as I'm sweating, it's picking me up. I couldn't do that by myself.
Right. Oh, that's amazing. So where, I know you're in the Toronto area, but if people are interested in learning more about you or your approach to trauma and healing, how can they connect with you?
You can find me on my website at janeklapp.com. If you sign up for my newsletter, I have a really easy to use video on how to three ways to alleviate anxiety really quickly through some body and movement based activities. So you can connect with me there, get on my newsletter list. I offer some online group coaching and there's lots of great information on there. Articles I've written, gotten published in Elephant Journal and things like that. So there's lots of resources on that site.
Great. That's awesome. I'm going to sign up for that newsletter. I can't believe I haven't already.
What?
I want those three tips. Absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jane. I mean, I could like talk your ear off forever, or opposite. I could listen for you talk about movement and healing forever, because I think it's just such a remarkable, beautiful, and kind of intuitive way to really approach our body.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure, and I could talk to you forever too.
Awesome. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in to Conscious Conversations. We will talk to you soon. Peace out.
Are you tired of being unsure of what your next step in life is? Or maybe you're just tired of feeling unsatisfied despite having it all? Today is the day to take the first step. Contact Pamela at ph@PamelaHeichel.com. That's PamellaHeichel.com. to schedule your free 45-minute session. Thanks for listening. And until next time, rest, nourish, move, be.